Psalm 62, if you want to go ahead and turn to your Bibles. But some things that I've learned, I've heard Christmas messages every year, but there are some things that in my personal study now that have never really, I've never heard them really emphasized. I'm not saying preachers haven't, and our pastor probably has. But I want you to stop and think about, you know, we see the Christmas story, and we have the things up here, and the babe in the manger, and the mother all dressed in nice and things. But stop and think about, Jesus was born in a manger. Mangers stink. They're not a clean place. There was no room in the inn. And this is where our Savior came to earth. Not in the plaza of a hotel, but in somewhat the scumbucket of Bethlehem. Think about that. You know, we in America are so spoiled, and everything is on a golden platter for us. But think about what Mary and Joseph went through. And she probably did not have the greatest of things there taking care of the baby like we see in the manger displays right now. So when you see that, think about our Savior and what was reality. Another thing was, and this we've all known and been taught, and I did know it, but I'm going to share with you some things that I learned. We know that the shepherds came where he was in the manger. But the Magi came when he was a young child. Could be upwards to almost 2 years old. That's why Herod had all the babies 2 and under killed, hoping he would get this king of the Jews, and so on. But when the Magi came, we sing the three kings of Orient, however it goes. They were not kings. They were Magi. And I learned about, and some of this may be speculation, but it makes sense. The Magi knew where they were going. They weren't just going out following something in the sky that all of a sudden landed over Jerusalem and over the home where Jesus was. They were being led out there by God. And the thing, without going into detail, what I learned was that the Magi came from Babylon. Now, who was in Babylon? Daniel was. And Daniel taught in the book of Daniel about the coming Messiah and the 70 years and 7 times 70 and all that. And somebody has speculated and put it together that these Magi were the result of Daniel's testimony back then, converted to Judaism, that knew the Messiah was coming and knew exactly when he was coming. So it was not a surprise to them. And now how God revealed it to them, the star in the sky and so on like that. But I mean, God settled it right to the year when this happened. And it is thrilled to me. Now take your Bibles, go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. If you would stand, we'll read the 8 verses. I'm going to talk about things coming from God to us. Things that come from God to you and me. Psalm 62:1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain in all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waiteth, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In my God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, meaning stop and think about these things. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the Christmas season. What's normally thought of in the Christmas season? Most of you know my buddy Ed that I take care of, and I'm his caretaker. For about 2 months now, he every once in a while says, I wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. He said it today. I wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. I want to say nothing, but when we're out in Arizona, I bought him a Stetson, John Wayne Stetson, $84. So he's got his Christmas from me. I may buy him a candy bar or something. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? What? And unfortunately, that's the mentality of Christmas now. What am I going to get? What are you going to give to me? What am I going to get? How am I going to get something I like and enjoy? Well, I want to talk to you tonight about some things that come from God. And being the Christmas season, let's receive it in that spirit. Verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. So the first thing we get from God is our salvation. The second thing is in verse 5. My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. Verse 7. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, we get from God. Verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before God is our refuge. So we get salvation, expectation, strength, and refuge. First is our salvation. I don't think I have to go in great detail. Most of us here tonight understand what our salvation is. That salvation comes from God. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast, and we certainly would, because that's what the general public does. When you ask them, are you going to heaven? Well, I'm doing my best. I've done the best I can. I think I will. I think God will let me enter heaven. And you ask them why? Well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, if you're depending on this and that to get you to heaven, you ain't going to make it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's not by this church, it's not by baptism, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of sin. Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, we know this is future, but now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God night and day. Now is come our salvation. And I want you to understand tonight, there is no waiting for salvation. The very instant that you believe, you receive eternal life. It's not God, I hope so. It's not God, I think so. But it's God, I thank you for it. Because you've brought it, you've given it to us, it's available to me, and I have accepted it as a free gift. I don't deserve it. Even after I've saved, I haven't lived like I should. But I know this, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin, past, present, and yes, even future. Thank God for that. Oh, thank God for that every day. Imagine if we had to walk in such a way that we said, oh, I can't, no, I can't. We would be a miserable wreck. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to go out and live haphazardly and say, well, God be thanked, I've got salvation. So, no, because I know what God did for me, I now walk circumspectly. That means to be watchful on all sides. And watching where I'm going, where I've been, who I'm with, and what I'm doing. Thank God for the salvation. There's no waiting. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There's no waiting and there's no work. The work was done 2,000 years ago that we're celebrating this week. The birth of Christ, and then the life, the death, burial, and resurrection that we actually celebrate on Easter time. That's it. The work is done. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross, one of the last words, it is finished. Oh, man. Have you ever been working on a task? A laborious task? And you pound that last nail or whatever you're doing, that last thing. I know when I'm home and I'm doing some studying on my sermons. I've got a stack of sermons. I tell you, a preacher could call me every week to fill in for him and I'd never run out. But I enjoy putting them together. But when I'm working on it and searching and fact-finding and so on, when that last one goes in place, it is finished. And I've got the finished product. Now, I had to work for that, but not for my salvation. And then Hebrews 5:9, I want you to know about our salvation. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. There is no flaws. There are no shortcomings. There are no gotchas. Satan cannot come out to a saved person and say, "Aha, I told you so." We may put ourselves in bad positions sometime, but what God's done, it's done, and there's no flaws in it. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape? This Christmas season, a lot of people's mind will be on Jesus Christ. It's a good time to ask him, how shall you escape? How shall you escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? People need to know there's no second chance. If you're here tonight, and you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, and I'm very confident that almost everyone here could raise their hand and say, Brother Asbury, I know. But if you can't, there's no second chance. And if you're thinking right now to yourself, I know I need to be saved, but I can't walk that aisle. I'd be so embarrassed. People think I'm saved, but inside, I know what's inside. Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but if you're out there and you've never been saved, there is no second chance, and tonight may be the last night. There is no other day promised to be saved but right now. So the first thing God brings us this Christmas season is salvation, and thank God for that. The second thing is expectation. We as Christians have a lot to expect. Boy, I cannot wait to get to heaven. Some of us have got a better half that's already there. And I talk to Connie every day in my office, got a smiling picture of her. I don't ever want to forget that. that enhances my expectation. Lord, even so, come today. Let it be today. Luke 3:15, talking about expectation. And this is during the ministry of John the Baptist. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. You see, the true Jews back then, there were fake Jews, just like we got fake Christians today. Or people that play Christianity, maybe saved, but they don't really live like it. It's not a way of life with it. But there were Jews back then that were faithful day in, day out, morning, evening, and night. And their expectation was the Messiah to come. Now the Magi that knew the time frame, maybe some of these people knew that. And when they saw John the Baptist, they thought, is this the Messiah? Is he the one? Boy, their expectation just magnified. But John said, I'm not him. There's one that cometh after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch. But they knew. So when Jesus came, is it any wonder that after Christ went through Calvary and died, and in Jerusalem, the apostles began preaching in Jerusalem first, and at first had 120 converts, and then 3,000 converts, and then thousands of converts. This was all within the first years after Christ died. Why? Because of that expectation. Christ is coming back. Do you expect him? How high is your expectation? There are nights I'd just soon not even make it home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, used to when we're younger, we always talk about people about ready to die or people that are in bad shape. And, you know, you get around that one that never has a good word to say. They're always miserable. And we say to them, well, it beats the alternative. Well, the older you get, the alternative looks much better. And it's getting better every day. Put yourself in John's time. Expectation brought hope. You see, at that point, they did not have what we have, assurance of salvation, that the sins were forgiven. They were in a mode of sacrificing over and over and over and over. It was not finished yet. But boy, when Christ came and that expectation was fulfilled, imagine when they come to realize what Christ did. No more sacrifice. No more killing the animals. No more bringing all that stuff to God to cover your sin. It is covered. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now this earnest expectation, I'm going to become a Greek scholar tonight, very briefly. That is a single word, earnest expectation. And it means straining forward or stretching forth. That's why athletes are challenged. Stretch the body to get it in shape, but then when you're in shape, stretch to do your best, to accomplish what you want so you get the victory. And that's what we want, is victory in Jesus. Not only victory in salvation, but victory in our life. Victory in getting rid of what's in here that ought not be here. And we've all got it and we've all had it and we're all ashamed of it. But get rid of it. Get your thinking, get yourself purified, and feast on the Word of God. And that expectation becomes so much more real in your life. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation again, and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Expectation brings boldness. Boldness to defy the world. I'm not going to live by their standards. I'm not going to walk in their footprints. I'm going to be different. I'm at a stage now that that's a way of life. Some of you young folks, you're going to have to determine right now. And I think we got the elite of all of you right here. And I love you guys, I really do. But you need to be bold in the Lord. Somewhere as you're going to get up and out of school, or you're going to have friends that are going to say, what about this or what about that? It may be something you don't understand and you don't have an answer for. But let that red flag go up and say, I'm not sure, but I want what God wants. I want in my life what's right, what's pure, what will be honoring to my Savior. The opposite of our expectation is the expectation of the wicked. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Can you tell I'm a glad person? I'm not much of a negative person. I never have been. And I thank God for that. But in my Christian life, I'm very positive, very upbeat. Not perfect by far. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. They got nothing to hope for. This life is it. And if they're not going to get saved, they may as well go out and live it up. Because when they take that last breath, as the rich man woke up in hell, so will they. Third thing that God brings us, glory and strength. Glory and strength. In verse 7, let me find it again. In God is my salvation, and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My glory and the rock of my strength. God gives that to us. We don't get that in ourselves. We don't go out and fight the devil. Remember when the angels and the body of Moses, they didn't even dispute with Satan. The angels didn't. Probably Gabriel, whoever it was, I don't know. But they didn't argue with Satan. These people that now claim to be casting out demons, that scared me to death. I mean, if God ever put me in a situation where I was in a home and somebody demon-possessed, I think I know enough about Scripture how to handle it. But I'm not putting myself in a position to let Satan come out and take the first punch at me, and the second, and the third, and knock me down, and spit on me, and say, see, I told you so. We're not in our own strength. Now think about this. Think about this. 1 Chronicles 16:28 says, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Give unto the Lord. Now, does the Lord need my strength, my muscle? He's omnipotent. I mean, this puny little thing that I am, He could live without me for eternity. I think that means what strength I've got in this body, let me submit it to God. Let me become Him. Become His, not Him. Let me give of myself. Present yourself, therefore, before God. Give your strength and glory. We as humans like to be heaped upon with glory. Do you ever sit out there and the preacher talking about something? Ooh, I hope he mentions me. Now, y'all probably don't do that. But I'll guarantee you, after he doesn't mention me, when I thought he could, I say to myself, praise the Lord. Because I'm just thinking about myself. And I ain't much. And what glory I have, what praise I have, I want to give to God. And then this Christmas season is worth thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He came and gave to us. Let's think about what can we give back to Him. We can give Him our praise. We can give Him all glory. We can give Him our bodily strength by serving Him and doing whatever He wants us to do, to knock on doors, to pass out tracts. It's not laborious. Listen, I'm at an age now walking up steps and I'm huffing and puffing. I'm not talking about that kind of physical strength. I'm talking about giving yourself, your voice, your testimony, your glory. Let it all be for the glory of God. Let me see. Psalm 96:7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. See, give. And we can't heap glory on God. He is all glory. We just reflect what God does through us back to Him. Our strength, we let Him use us in whatever way He chooses. Our strength is for God and all glory is due Him. But God gave us strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't ever fear about what God wants me to do, where He wants me to go, talking to anybody. Listen, if the President of the United States came in and I had a chance to shake his hand, one of the things I'd make a point about is giving him a track and say, are you sure? Are you sure? And from him on down, whoever it is, don't be intimidated. We've all got people that we're somewhat intimidated by. I told you recently about my brother. And thank God, he's beginning to melt. We're talking more and more. We're texting back and forth. We have never done that before. But I've been praying for him. God, break him. And allow me to give him the gospel and his wife. I'm not intimidated. I'm not afraid to do it. I'm more afraid that he'll reject it. That hurts me more than you know, if he rejects me, so what? But boy, if he rejects Christ, it's for eternity. Strength come. Remember Samson? Judges 16:28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines. Strength comes by prayer, not out of the grocery store. Now that's really deep, isn't it? You don't buy strength. You don't negotiate for strength. You don't bodybuild for this kind of strength. Well, in essence, you do. You build your body through the study of the Word of God. But prayer and seeking God's blessing is where that strength comes from. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God's timing. Wait on God. Don't push God. You know, I've said this before, probably here, I'm sure. But we pray and say, God, I need this, and I need it yesterday. Where were you? Well, God was there yesterday. And either I had not prayed for it before, or God's timing was not right. But I want to be satisfied and content. Remember, Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in, whether to abound and have plenty, or whether to, however he says it, about not having anything and having to fight for the next meal, so to speak. I can still do all things through Christ that strengthened me. The fourth thing. Takes a long time for an old man to preach messages because trying to go through my papers, my fingers don't work like they used to. Takes a while to get there. He is our refuge. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge for the guilty to flee to. Now, we need to understand what these cities of refuges were for. If I went out and I was mad at my brother, and I intentionally took a log and knocked him over the head, that city was not for me, because I was guilty of sin. And if man sheds blood, by his own blood should be shed in replace of it. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. But if I'm working in the field and my mule kicks my neighbor in the head and kills him, and really nobody was around to see exactly how it happened, but I was not angry at him. I had no thing against him. It was an accident, somewhat an accidental manslaughter type thing, not murder. The city of refuge, you see, if I did not go to a city of refuge, the family of that man that got killed could come out and get me. But when I went to this city of refuge, I was safe. They were not allowed to come in. And there are some things that Satan is not allowed to do. He cannot come in to a saved person's life and destroy you spiritually. Eternally. It may destroy your testimony. He may destroy your confidence, but he can never destroy your security. And this city of refuge is that security. Numbers 35:6. And among the cities which he shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge. Started out with six. Which he shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them shall ye add 42 more cities. Okay. I picture in my mind the city of refuge is sort of like our local jails. Because if the guy came out of the city of refuge, he put himself back in peril. But when he was there, he was incarcerated. I don't know how much they had. I know today that some prisoners live better than some of us. They have free TV, free cable, free exercise equipment, free food, free health care. Why do so many prisoners that get put out of jail go right back out and commit the same crime and almost say, like, come and get me? They don't know how to operate outside on their own. They got no strength. They've got no expectation. They've got no comfort. They've got no refuge out there. But you and I do in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our refuge is sure and secure. But it comes when we accept Christ as our Savior. We become more aware of it and assured of it as we study God's Word, as we work and give our strength and our glory back to God, and he will bless us and use us, and then we can enjoy the joy of salvation. And this Christmas season, let's be a joyful people, because there's a lot of people out there that are miserable, and they may just see something in you or in me that will strike a chord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you tonight. Thank you for letting me share this message. And thank you for letting me study for it. Lord, some of the things I've learned that I just never had heard before. And Lord, help us to enjoy our salvation, to have that expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give our strength and our glory right back to our Savior. Lord, help us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.